Happy New Year. The market had a good year, and especially a good fourth quarter. Though volatile, the S&P 500 rose 14.8%. Please see your client statements for your own performance. Throughout 2010, sentiment migrated from concern that we would experience a double-dip recession and slide into deflation that would be hard to shake, into current fears over inflation and currency depreciation. This shift occurred for several reasons. First, the U.S. and global economies both showed weak, though sustained, growth throughout the calendar year. Second, we saw a pickup in demand for raw materials from China as their economy expanded due to increased exports, as well as a huge stimulus package from their government. Finally, the U.S. Federal Reserve implemented a second round of quantitative easing, QE2. This has led to lower interest rates and flooded the system with dollars, fueling some investing, but also speculative buying of risky, liquid assets, conditions we observed in the period leading up to the financial crisis. Finally, while the U.S. has many issues to work through compared to many other countries, we may be the proverbial pygmy casting a long shadow in a land of midgets. Taken together, we have enjoyed a liquidity-fueled boost to the stock market. To build their countries, buildings, roads, power plants, airports, China and India need to buy and make a lot of stuff. And like the sustained period of demand that the U.S. went through in the post-World War II era, these and other developing countries are using great quantities of steel, copper, aluminum, and silver. Their growing middle-class citizens are eating higher-calorie diets and wearing more expensive clothing. They're traveling all over the world and buying the trappings of luxury. These behaviors are clearly seen in global markets. Tourism and luxury good purchases are up, and commodity prices have appreciated rapidly in the second half of this year. This brings up an important point. While the U.S. is still the largest consumer of most things, that consumption isn't growing very fast. Consequently, unlike any time since perhaps World War I, the U.S. is not directly calling the tune when it comes to the cycles of inflation and deflation for many goods and services. For example, many of the manufactured goods we buy in the U.S. are made in China. It is Chinese wage inflation that affects the price of toys and computers, not the AFL-CIO. Similarly, as China turns into a massive importer of foodstuffs, their demand determines the price of corn and sugar, and so the price of Frosted Flakes is at some level determined by the appetites of Shenzhen and Shandong, and not San Francisco. Of the challenges we face, deficits in the public sector are particularly concerning. Collectively, states and municipalities have made promises of pensions and retirement benefits that far outstrip their ability to pay. These promises were made in very different times. People had shorter lifespans, medical cost inflation was lower, and the economy was better. Further, the politicians making these promises found it expedient to agree to workers' demands rather than risk a crippling strike that would jeopardize re-election. As New York's Mayor Bloomberg is finding out, piles of garbage in the streets are a sure way of losing the vote. Municipalities and states have accumulated enormous unfunded liabilities that are weighing on their ability to provide services. When we buy bonds, we are lenders, and at the current level of interest rates, these deficits give us pause, especially where the lender of last resort, the federal government, is running a huge deficit. We're troubled by this set of circumstances, and so we continue to be conservative in how we approach bond portfolios, keeping maturities relatively short and amongst higher quality issuers. This strategy has been vindicated recently as municipal and taxable bonds have lost between 2.5% and 5% of their value in the last couple of months. This is the equivalent of 1 or 2 years of interest on these bonds. In a low rate environment, the tiny bits of extra yield available by taking a little more risk can be wiped out in the blink of an eye. That doesn't seem worth the risk to us. At higher yields, both in absolute terms and relative to those available from higher quality stocks, we will once again be interested in assuming the risk of being a longer-term lender to municipalities. In the meantime, it's hard to get excited about most bonds. On the other hand, as we discussed last quarter in our recent Harbolite, we're finding good relative values in the equity markets. We expect that over the long term, these companies will provide us with attractive returns. Highlighting this observation, several successful and prominent bond managers have either begun to or have applied to be able to buy stocks in their bond funds. This is remarkable. In the short term, however, markets may mimic the ups and downs of our delicate, slow, and volatile global recovery. Nonetheless, the healthy cash flows and dividends from your portfolio companies should allow them to progress at a faster pace than the economy. We all want to take this time to thank you. We enjoy the privilege of working with you and look forward to a happy and a prosperous new year. Thank you. Please note this recording should not be interpreted as a recommendation to buy or sell any security or financial instrument. Marble Harbor Investment Council may or may not be a holder of any security mentioned and may add to or sell any shares owned. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results.